the industry did come to this festival. It was greatly attended by audience and 9-to-5ers, but the industry came for two reasons. One, to find talent. But let's not lie here, kid around. Number two, Montreal is an adult Disneyland. There's no doubt about it. Strippers and coke were big in the 80s and 90s, and that's a lot of reason the industry came to that town was for the party aspect. Montreal also always knew how to throw a good party, so you had Comedy Central parties, all these parties sponsored by big network money. And who doesn't want to have a weekend? If you've never been to Montreal, it's an amazing place. It's like a little bit of Europe in North America. So there's also that bit of the headed dragon to the equation. But yes, the industry did come. New faces was the most important. And then you had other kind of offshoot shows that weren't as important, but still were quite good because you had the ethnic show and you had other smaller branded shows that you could really lock into. So there is comics that also got deals from that type of show as well. Hey, this is Little Darren Frost. Some consider one of the angriest people in comedy. If you saw my picture, you'd understand. And you're listening to Comedy History 101 with Harmon Leon. Keep listening. I'm not that angry.
Yes, that is the voice of Canadian comedian Darren Frost, and you've tuned into Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy. I am Harmon, hello. And today, this very day, today, we are doing an episode on the history of Just for Laughs. Just for Laughs is, or was, the largest comedy festival in the world. The festival was founded in 1983. It started out as a simple four-show comedy festival over two nights that began in French only and, well, went on to launch the careers of so many famous comedians that I could list right now. I'll just simply list one. It helped launch the career of Yakov Smirnoff, okay? Okay, that's a deep cut. But, you know, it helped launch the careers of, you know, Amy Schumer, Jimmy Fallon, Ray Romano, Kevin James, Jerry Seinfeld, Jim Jefferies. I don't know, just Wikipedia it. But there's pretty much every big name in comedy has gone through the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. And sad news for the world of comedy, after 40 years of producing the festival, it was announced last week that the 2024 edition of the Montreal Comedy Festival has been canceled. And we will go into that further in the episode. But before we jump in, hey friends, remember, take some time to like, subscribe, even comment on Comedy History 101, wherever you get your podcast. And you can leave those comments also on our website, comedyhistory101.com. And we will read your comments right here on the podcast. Give us a few stars on iTunes. Come on, friends. How hard can that be? Also, a few quick plugs. Next week, March 22nd and 23rd, I will be in London, England, performing at the Rosemary Branch Theater with my solo show, Harmon Leon in The Joke Saved My Soul. So, if you are in the UK, come out and say hello. Also, on April 4th, 9:30 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater, I'll be producing my show, AI versus Human Roast Battle. Yes, come out and see a machine learning AI take on a human comedian in a roast battle of tomorrow. And you can find out all these tour dates on my website, harmonleon.com, or on the social medias at Harmon Leon. And now, without further ado,
everybody's so stupid.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Excuse me! Comedy History 101.
You know, for those who might not know Just for Last Festival, how would you describe the festival to them?
It is considered the largest or the biggest in the world comedy festival that you're generally invited to. Edinburgh is obviously larger than Just for Laughs, but that is a very much not just an invite-only festival, and it's a fringe festival. So when it comes to a comedy festival, it is the world's largest. Now, they've had a lot of competition with Netflix as a joke in the last couple of years, and we'll probably get into that as one of the reasons why it's had a downfall, but it is the world's largest comedy festival.
Yeah, and what do you know of the history? Like, I have a article here from the Montreal Gazette saying, you know, started with just two nights, maybe like four shows or something like that, 1984.
In the early 80s, they started with just a few shows, and then it gradually grew bigger and bigger and bigger to become the world's largest, and it's also very much government-financed. There's two sides to Just for Laughs. There's the comedy festival side and then the touring side. So the comedy festival side gets significant grants from the Canadian government to for culture reasons. And that's supposed to obviously bring international acts here and also shine a light on the Canadian talent to share the stage with those international stars.
Yeah. So I think like the first year it was in French, Just pour rire, the official name of me butchering French. But do you think it like first sort of the thing that really kind of put it on the map? I've heard this from other comics, is in 1988 when John Candy was hosted it for like an HBO show.
Yes. I mean, that was definitely when it started to come into its own. The English side had been running a few years, and I know some of the comics that were there the very first year, and it was all very kind of grassroots and kind of baby steps. And then it became all of a sudden just like a big jump in that 88, 89 period where a lot of international comics then were coming. I mean, John Candy is a worldwide star and obviously aligned with comedy. And the idea is, if, you know, John Candy's there, it must be something.
And again, for people that don't know, you know, this is like a festival that basically overnight, I doubt they still do this or did this, was you would get those crazy $500,000, $1 million development deals right out of the gate from, you know, all of Hollywood community coming for this 2-week festival.
Yes. I mean, what would happen is, just also people understand, the first 2 weeks was in French. The second 2 weeks was in English. So there's always this bit of a disconnect between those two sides of the festival, because obviously very few comics perform in both. But that second 2 weeks in the late 80s, early 90s, especially when I started doing stand-up, it was all about the development deal. So you had big Americans coming in, getting development deals. People like Kevin James has already stayed in the last couple of days. That's where he got his kind of big deal from and kicked off his career. You know, Mitch Hedberg got a big deal from Just for Laughs. He was generally seen as the last of that kind of dying breed of getting the development deals and kind of kicking off from just a festival. But there's a little bit of a story behind that, too. And I don't always believe that the festival was part of it. But yeah, the development deal was a big, big thing. And the other thing is, it was a big thing for Canadians, because Canadians also got those rare development deals, which they never would have gotten without that festival. And even though I have my issues with Just for Laughs, the truth is the truth, and I've always sided with that. So comics like Sean Majunder got a deal, Vince Fluke got a deal, Pete Johansson got a deal. These are all stand-up comics that may not be worldwide stars by name, but at that time, that was the leg up that they needed.
Again, that era is like so crazy, because people could make full livings from not making a TV show, which they're signed on to do with these big development deals.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. You'd get $500,000, even $200,000, and you're, you know, not made to, but the deal was you'd go to LA, you'd sit around, and you'd only audition for their projects. So if you're assigned to NBC, there were only NBC projects that you would audition for. And I had many friends that had got the deals, not many, but a few, and they sat around and did nothing because there was something great with ABC, but they were assigned to NBC. That was the deal, and that was part of the problem with those development deals.
Yeah, it's like almost like the old school Hollywood studio system.
Yes.
Where they just kind of open you, sort of thing.
I'm trying to use the phone!
So what were some of the main components of Just for Laughs? And it's so sad to speak it. It's like in the past tense, like just last week.
Right.
Do you think like the biggest show to make or break people was like the New Faces showcase?
Yes.
Or the gala?
No. The New Faces is what was to make or break for like 90% of comics. The galas were important, but the industry didn't generally go to the gala. And that's something else that's very important, is that the industry did come to this festival. It was greatly attended by audience and 9-to-5ers, but the industry came for two reasons. One, to find talent. But let's not lie here, kid around. Number two, Montreal is an adult Disneyland. There's no doubt about it. Strippers and coke were big in the 80s and 90s, and that's a lot of reason the industry came to that town was for the party aspect. Montreal also always knew how to throw a good party, so you had Comedy Central parties, all these parties sponsored by big network money, and who doesn't want to have a weekend? If you've never been to Montreal, it's an amazing place. It's like a little bit of Europe in North America. So there's also that bit of the headed dragon to the equation. But yes, the industry did come. New faces was the most important. And then you had other kind of offshoot shows that weren't as important, but still were quite good because you had the ethnic show and you had other smaller branded shows that you could really lock into. So there is comics that also got deals from that type of show as well.
And what comics did you hear of or did you see like really kind of just blow it out of the water in Just for Laughs?
Well, I know that Sean Majunder had a really good year, the year that I was there and I physically saw it. And I saw people in the industry very interested. And then obviously the Mitch Hedberg one is the story is so every year, all the big comics that are at Just for Laughs will sit down for a lunch before the actual event happens. And it was covered by the Montreal Gazette. And it's like a round table discussion, kind of like what you see now on Netflix when Chappelle sits around and Louis C.K. and all that. And they would all actually say who they thought was the hot comic. So this is like the old guard saying who the hot young guard is. And the one year as they went around the table, everyone said Mitch Hedberg. So to me, it's almost like he didn't really make it from that festival. The heat was already on him before he got there. Did he sign the paper there? Yes, he did. So you have Mike McDonald saying Mitch Hedberg is amazing. You got Dom Herrera saying Mitch Hedberg is the real deal. These are all iconic comics kind of passing the torch. So there was also that happened.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
What is your history with the festival? When did it first come on your radar? And what was like the first show you did with the festival?
I did it in the mid-90s. I did something. So the Canadians mostly are forced to do these kind of competition shows. And so the winner would then get to stay on and do a free show somewhere. That's generally what happened. So that was my first interaction with them. I did a competition, three nights, a competition thing. I did not win. I did not advance forward. We had to pay our own expenses. We had to get our own way there, even though this is government money sponsoring this event for Canadians. Canadians were always classified as second-class citizens within the festival, and especially in the 90s and early thousands. And then in 2005, I did the Nasty Show, which many consider the best show at the festival for just shows, not
what,
the industry.
What is the Nasty Show, just for people that don't know?
Yeah, so the Nasty Show is what it seems to sound like. It's dirty comedy, edgy comedy, whatever term you want to use as that umbrella. Obviously not TV-friendly comedy. And it runs during the French week because the show is so big, it needs to do 15 shows in a venue. And when you're in a town of Montreal, there's not that many venues. So during the French week, they could use a venue that they couldn't use during the English week because they had all these other shows. So I did 15 shows. And just to give you an idea of what my lineup was, and many consider it probably one of the best of all time, and a lot of shit went down, was Bobby Slayton hosting, myself, Jim Jeffries, our first international appearance at a festival of that kind of magnitude, Doug Stanhope, and Otto and George.
Okay, that's a murderer's row of comedians there.
Yes. of that kind of style of comedy, yes. And so I did those shows. And then they actually censored me on the Nasty Show. They took me outside. And
well, you were too nasty for the Nasty Show.
Well, that according to them.
According to them. What does it take to get censored on the Nasty Show?
Well, you know, that's the problem. The problem is that you have to submit a tape just so people know. Like, you don't just get the festival. You have to showcase, submit tapes. They okay your material. So all of my material was passed and they said, okay, this is fine. And then what happens is show one, they get a little nervous and they go, okay, we got to change this because it didn't work. And show one is Tuesday at like 6 o'clock at night. Like nobody lasts at 6 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. And so they kind of go into this little worrisome mode. And that's also the year they kind of demoted Doug Stanhope and a lot of shit went down. So they censored me. They took me outside. They said, hey, don't do these three jokes again. And I'm like, what are you talking about? These aren't little jokes. These aren't like line or one-liner jokes. These are legitimate bits. This is stuff about my children having open heart surgery. This is important stuff to me. You know, I can do a joke. Like, I hate to do this, but to give you an example, I did a joke. I'm not proud of it. This is, you know, 20, 25 years ago. I used to do a joke. It was my grandmother's birthday. We weren't sure how old she was until we counted the rings around her cunt. Okay? It's a stupid joke, but it's a nasty joke. It's a quick joke. Okay? They had no problem with that joke. Because I said to them, do you want me to drop that? No, that joke is fine. But this other bit where I was fighting for the rights of my child to have an open heart surgery, which did do well. They're like, we just feel uneasy. You know, people don't really talk like that about their kids. Talking about your kids like that isn't cool, you know? And I'm like, and what happened 2 or 3 years later? Louis C.K. calls his kids assholes and just for laughs goes, oh my God, let's jack everybody off. I mean, this is, you know, I don't have a great history with them. And then I taped the gala. That's the other thing. I taped the TV special in the same year. I did 25 shows or 22 shows in 1 week or 2 weeks at the festival. The most of any comedian at that time. So I did the nasty show and then the gala, and they never aired my gala. So, I mean, there's different reasons galas don't get aired. They tape a whole bunch of stuff. It doesn't all fit together. But it was a bit of a bummer for me after being censored on the nasty show. And then that happened. It's kind of like, well, you fucked me once, fuck me twice. It's over.
Yeah. And again, it's not, like you said, it's not easy to get into Just for Laughs. It's always like where I started comedy in San Francisco is always every year. It's like the Just for Laughs showcase is going on, this Sunday. And you have to jump through, you know, many hurdles and all that. So it's like, if you got chosen, it's like, oh my God, he's going to be a Just for Laughs, you know? And he almost thought it was like this gateway into, all right, I'm indoctrinated into show business.
Well, yeah. I mean, and they have these showcases worldwide. They have someone in charge of just Canadian talent that goes all over Canada for these showcases. Then they have someone that just concentrates on Europe and just goes, and that's their living. They go to these towns, watches these showcases, makes notes, and generally doesn't make any decisions. It's the higher ups that do, but they look good doing it. And so, yeah. And to get Just for Laughs, let's not forget the significance of that. For a lot of comics, that was like a band to wear. It's like, I am a comic. You ask anyone in North America, especially Canada, I'm a comic. They'll say, have you done Just for Laughs? No. Well, what kind of comic really are you? I mean, it is a barometer. There's no doubt there is a barometer of fact when it comes to Just for Laughs.
Yeah. I mean, again, I've done it twice. And once with like this kind of group show that we had, and the show before ours, we were at the St. Catharines Theater. Amazing. Patrice O'Neill doing his solo show, which was just incredible. And the caliber of comedy that they would get, you know, it's like Judge Apatow presenting, you know, his movies with all his stars, Seth Rogen and all that. So it's, again, for people that don't know the festival, it's just the caliber and high tier of comedy is at its upper level.
Yeah. And you'd go to the bar afterwards at either the Delta or the other places wherever the
oh yeah, the Delta. Was. Yeah. That was the one. Yeah.
So for years it was the Delta, and you know, Dave Chappelle would be there and Bill Burr would be over there and Kevin James, like literally all the stars would be at this hangout. Cause even though you're a star, you're still a comic, and comics love to hang out with comics and hear all the shitty things that happen. So there was also that element to it as a comic, that camaraderie of afterwards. Don't care really about the show. Let's get the show over with. I mean, that's really what the nasty show was a lot. Let's get the show over with and then go have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, it's like an adult Disneyland, and it's these LA people get to escape LA and sort of be off the radar behavior wise. You know, not all of them, but
it's like they're living off the grid. And, you know, even like Doug Stanhope hired a prostitute to walk on stage at the Nasty Show when Jim Jefferies was on, just to, you know, try to fuck him up. You know? Like shit like this doesn't happen every day. You know, it is an adult Disneyland. There's no doubt.
Yeah. And like you said, that's a main component is the Delta Bar. The bar at the hotel where all the comics are staying is just that caliber talent mixed with that caliber of kind of like gatekeepers and agents and managers, just all there is like unsurpassed.
Excuse me.
For you, what do you contribute, maybe like your best or worst performance at Just for Laughs, or was it the Nasty Show as you just set.
So I know what my worst show there was. So I just finished 15 shows of the Nasty Show, and then I did this other show to get ready for the gala. So, like, literally, I'm switching from saying, you know, all these horrible things for 15 shows in a row, and I've got three shows to get my TV-friendly ha-ha dance jokes ready for the gala. And I had to go on a show in the same venue I just did the Nasty Show. And there's a comic that saw me on the Nasty Show the night before and then the day after, and I bombed horribly that next day because the switch was just too much. I didn't really have time to work on my act that much because during the day I was also running around doing other stuff for the CBC, which is our TV network. So I didn't have a lot of time. So I bombed horribly. And there was a small crew that was filming me for CBC, and they literally felt bad for me. Like, afterwards, they thought I was going to, like, maybe kill myself if I bombed that badly. Like, they literally pulled me aside. Are you going to be okay? Are you, you know, do you need anything? Because they just saw me go down, like, hard. And I'm like, look, you know, this is showbiz. One show you're not going to do great. I'm thinking of the next show already. And that's an easy mantra to say, but that's literally where I was. And then I'm not going to lie, the one of the Nasty Shows, I did kill it. And what I did was, not so much about me. So show one, they censored me. And I recorded every show at the Nasty Show. I smuggled a camera in, which is, of course, you're not supposed to do. And I actually have some of the footage of Otto and George. It's one of the last kind of, because he passed away, that I have of Otto and George. I have his sets. Anyways, I recorded my last show. And I turned to the woman timing, because they have a girl. All she has is time. And she said, you got 12 minutes. I said, listen, they originally gave me 15. I'm doing 15. This is my last Nasty Show. I'm doing what I came here to do. I go, you do your job. You know, hit the light. You go, I don't know what he's doing. I told him 12. I did 15 minutes. I did the jokes I was supposed to do, including the jokes they asked me not to do. I killed. I have it on tape. And I have that forever. And then I walked off stage and I said to the main booker, I said, 14 shows for you, one show for daddy. And I walked out the back door and I never saw that booker again. So to me, that was a great moment. You know, whether, you know, a moment like that happens again where I can have a little bit of that kind of comeback, or, you know, get back, we'll see.
And before we dive into about the downfall of the festival, one interesting thing I researched was Rowan Atkinson, aka Mr. Bean, got his start at the festival doing the French side. He created Mr. Bean to do like a nonverbal character.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's why I said the whole French side, there is a lot of nonverbal stuff there. I mean, one gala, they had a mini Elvis jumping on a trampoline. That was kind of like one of the things. It was just like, there's no language barrier. And, you know, Just for Laughs also makes a lot of money, not to get to the business side yet, on something called Just for Gags. It's actually bigger than the festival. It's their main flagship show. It's pretty much Candid Camera, and it's shown in 150 countries where it's no language, just Candid Camera, shot in Quebec. And so, yeah, Rowan Atkinson, it makes a lot of sense that he popped off there because the French love that kind of humor.
Yeah, there's like a time when I was on airplanes and like taking international flights, and that was always on the in-flight TV. And all I really remember is maybe like a talking mailbox or something that chases a woman or something like that.
Yeah, and one of the other great things is, like, a few years after I did that Nasty Show and I had my issues, it kind of calmed down. I was working for XM Radio at the time. I had my own show. Uh-huh. And me and my co-host went to Just for Laughs to interview a bunch of people. And one show, we were in a place called the Comedy Works. Now, the Comedy Works is a 100-seat comedy club, classic club, square, low ceilings, awesome club. And Lee Evans was on. Now, if people don't know who Lee Evans is, Lee Evans is a massive worldwide legend of a comic who plays to like 8,000-10,000 people in Great Britain and Europe. And here we are watching him do his thing, getting ready for his gala to 90 people. I mean, these are the things that you could see because they have to get ready for their sets. So everybody in Montreal would know that. It's like if you get a ticket, it's like the Comedy Cellar. Everyone brags about the Comedy Cellar. Oh, Chris Rock might show up. Dave Attell might show up. During the festival at the Comedy Works, big comics show up to get their galas ready. And that was another great aspect of it.
Yeah, that was a great club, the Comedy Works. It's no more, right?
No, it's not, no.
Yeah, again, everyone from New York, who did I interview? I interviewed some Canadian comedian, and it's just like all, you know, it would be like Jon Stewart, Louis C.K., Ray Romano, you know, legendary club. Last week, I'm sure you heard the news. It was announced, the 2024 edition of Just for Laughs has been canceled. And not only that, yes, they are $22.5 million in the hole. 70% of their workers were laid off last week. What was your general reaction to that?
Well, I mean, I got to start off right from the jump. I've not had a very good relationship for almost 30 years with Just for Laughs. So a lot of people would automatically assume that I was dancing on the grave. I was slightly dancing on the grave. I'm not going to lie about that, because over the years, I've been somewhat gaslit about my opinions about Just for Laughs and made to felt crazy about all these things I've said about them. And some of them have come true. But I also do feel for some of the people that do work there.
What do you think is the downfall of the festival? Do you think it was like over expansion? There was kind of a Me Too type thing with the founder who resigned in 2017.
I always use the Bill Cosby analogy when it comes to Just for Laughs this week. And that is, yeah, he did some good, he did some bad, and they're both accused of sexual assault. So, which is a little known fact for a lot of American and worldwide listeners about the Just for Laughs past. I guess that would be the kickoff. That would be the first kind of crack in the shell. So Gilbert Rozon, who was one of the two people that created Just for Laughs, was a gentleman named Andy Nolman. They started the festival all those years ago. He was, I guess Me Too is the word, or the Harvey Weinstein of the situation, where he was accused of sexual assault and rape. That is the actual term in Canada that is used. Just so people know, I'm not making that word up to make it sound worse than it is. And he was cleared of all charges, but 14 other women came forward and had other similar stories. So he was forced to step down. So this was years ago. And then what happened is Just for Laughs was sold. 49% of it was sold to ICM, which is the huge talent agency, figureheaded by Howie Mandel, was brokering the deal, who's a Canadian worldwide comic star. And 51% of it was owned by Bell Canada, Bell, the giant, obviously, telecommunications company. And they moved forward with it. So that was the first problem, that there's problem kind of in that adult Disneyland component of it. Then I think what happened is there's some things that weren't really reported with the international news, that comics in Canada were starting to brew about, where's all this money going, this government grant? Why are Canadians not seeing it? Why are Canadians forced to open for acts for $100 in a 3,000-seater? Why can't they pay a little better and represent Canada better? I mean, what they did to the Montreal comics over the years was atrocious. They used to even have a Montreal show. They used to showcase a lot. Now it's like the average Montreal comic might be lucky to open for, you know, Marc Maron at a little theater kind of thing. That was the best it would be. So that was the second thing. Then the third thing is this growing behemoth that Just for Laughs became. Like I said, those two sides. One is the festival side. The other is the touring machine. Just for Laughs is great at spending government money and not their own money. But when you go to other countries, you're not going to get the same kickbacks and grants. Now you're trying to operate as a business in a real business environment with no cushion. So they try to do Just for Laughs Chicago. They try to do Just for Laughs Cancun. They try to do all these other offshoots because they think it's a bit of a worldwide brand. And I think they overextended. And it's coming out that, 22 million. I've heard rumors of far more that they owe. And the way things are in Quebec, where Just for Laughs is situated, a province in Canada, Quebec gets paid first. So anyone that they owe internationally does not get paid until Quebec gets paid. So that's also going to be a problem for them coming forward, because people are saying, well, you know what? They may come back. They will probably come back. The government might give them a bit of money. They'll be heavily watched. But any international place that they've burned, are they going to jump into bed with them again? That the lure of the ring of Just for Laughs, in my opinion, is gone. It's now just another weekend where you might get flown in, feel like a bit of a rock star, but that's it. That allure is kind of gone.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's like the times changed a bit and there's bigger festivals, or as big festivals, like SS Sketch Fest, you know, that's gotten pretty big. The Moon Tower, you know, Comedy Festival. And again, these are places outside of LA.
I think Moon Tower is sponsored by Just for Laughs, if I'm wrong.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
I believe so.
I was looking at their lineup and it had to be like some big talent agent who's sponsoring it. Cause it's just like, you know, I was just looking at their heavy hitter lineup and it just seemed like, you know, possibly like an ICM or somebody like that is also behind that festival. But like I said, you know, Netflix is a joke, you know, all that overexpansion.
There's another aspect to it as well, and that is the TV side. So Just for Laughs records multiple galas and tons of TV content. Well, over the last 20 years, TV has changed, right? So the way that people are getting their comedy has completely shifted, where it's not so heavily on, I'm going to sit down on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock and watch a show. And so the TV programmers are also changing what they're buying. So they're not buying the same thing. So a few years ago, Just for Laughs switched over to having like one person specials to try to sell it to other markets. And they're trying to compete with places like Netflix and et cetera. And there's, you know, it's such a behemoth, it's almost impossible. Also, a little inside fact that the guy who runs Netflix comedy used to work at Just for Laughs.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a great place to get your chops and all that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And maybe he saw a boat that was just dying or time to jump off or go to a bigger ship. But yeah, there's definitely that aspect of like the TV shows are not selling like they used to. I know in Canada, they're not buying them like they used to. And that means less tax credits, which is funds the festival. These are all so many moving parts that a staff of that size probably couldn't keep it all together.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's just like, it was great when it was just Montreal, but you know, it's like all, you know, the UK, we worked for Just for Laughs in the UK and all that. And then when it stops being just what it is, and then you get the government funding to keep you afloat, and then there's a shift in comedy and there's a pandemic, you know, et cetera. And then rape, I guess, thrown into the mix, all those factors in different festivals and streaming, and you could be a TikTok star now and all that.
Yeah, the idea that a TV or a festival will launch your career is never going to be bigger now than someone getting a football in a groin on TikTok. You know, that's always going to trump things now. So it's all about content, creating your own content. Just for Laughs used to be one of the biggest gatekeepers in the world for comedy. It no longer is. There's very few real gatekeepers anymore.
Yeah, it's true. And you could be your own gatekeeper if you have a million followers. So, but you know, we had a great time when we were there. And again, we didn't, as far as I know, all we were flown out. We were put up at a hotel, and I believe we made no money for the shows we did.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my biggest posts in the last week is when I broke down the money I got for the Nasty Show in 2005, I did 15 shows. There was 700 people in the venue per show at $50 a head. That's over $500,000 at the gate. And I made $1,500 total Canadian for that show. So again, when you do the math and they're getting government grants, why are they going bankrupt?
Exactly. And especially with government grants, the value of that is you are promoting, you're promoting Quebec and Montreal worldwide by being that brand. And that should be enough unless you are running things afoul to keep it afloat.
Right. Most people can think I'm just talking like this because I'm bitter. I'm not actually bitter. I just don't want people to fall for the same things. And financially, I've always said about Just for Laughs, I don't know if you're gonna put this in or not, but the only thing I've ever asked of them is if you're getting government money, show me the percent that you're giving to Canadians. I don't care if it's 5%, 10%. Show me a monetary percentage that we can judge and make sure that's happening. And I'll have no problem with Just for Laughs coming back. I'll support it. I'll never do it again. But I just want it to be where it's all fair, above board. I guess that's too much to ask.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like there to promote, you know, Canadian culture. So what promotes Canadian culture more than promoting the comedians of Canadian culture?
Well, I mean, 90% of comics have to leave this country, right? And they go to either England or somewhere else because it's bad here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing fine because I work chicken huts and I do my own shows and I run everything. But, you know, comics aren't always the best business people and they need people to do that. In Canada, there isn't. That's one of the problems. So they have to leave and they try to use Just for Laughs as the kind of springboard. And, you know, hopefully it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's almost more Canadian comedians in the UK. Not really, but there is a lot.
There is. And, you know, I'm British by heritage and I have an EC passport and you wouldn't catch me fucking dead living in that country. I'd perform there and I have, but I'm not a fan of England itself living there. And I don't know how some of them do it, but I get it when they can travel and use it as a pinpoint from around the world. Like I'm in Tokyo, I'm in, you know, Thailand, you know, which is very hard to do from North America. So I understand it.
I mean, there's just so many gigs just in London alone where you can make a living and not do a lot of road work. overall do you think is Just for Laughs place in comedy history? I know you touched upon it.
I just don't think it can be discounted on how important Just for Laughs was for about 20 years. It was the defining moment in comedy of the year for most comedians and most comedy fans. And the tentacles that it sprung out from with the TV shows and everything is undeniable.
Right. And, like, and you know, it's such an institution too. That's the first thing I think of when I think of Montreal. I always think of the festival. Next thing I think of is those city bikes that we have in New York. Yeah. Were invented there.
Yeah, I mean, it'll always be a special place in a lot of comics' hearts because, like I said, it was a barometer. There's very few barometers now. I guess, you know, a million followers on TikTok is it, and you can show your friends. But the industry, there's a lot of people don't care about followers. They still care about what are you saying? What are you doing? What is the content you're creating? Just to get a million people with football in the groin is nothing. Are you saying something? Are you doing something original? I hope that still kind of leads to success, but I don't know. I'm 53. I'm on the down end of my career. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with what I've done and what I'm doing. You know, the young generation, kids get off my lawn. You know, I hope that what is important is what they're doing, not what they're getting from it.
Thanks, Darren. And where can people find you?
You can go to my website at darrenfrost.com or my Twitter handle is comedywhore.
And that wraps up our episode today on the history of Just for Laughs. And I'd like to thank my friend Jean-Francois, who put me in touch with our guest today, Darren Frost. Also, take some time to like, subscribe, and comment on Comedy History 101, wherever you get your podcasts, or on our site, comedyhistory101.com, or on the social medias at Comedy History 101. Also, a few quick plugs. Once again, on March 22nd and 23rd, I'll be performing in London, England at the Rosemary Branch Theater with my solo show, Harmon Leon, in The Jokes Saved My Soul. Also, on April 4th, 9:30 at the People's Improv Theater in New York City, I'll be producing my show, AI versus Human Roast Battle. Come out and see a machine learning AI take on a human comedian in a roast battle of tomorrow. And you can find out all these tour dates on my website, harmonleon.com, or on the social medias at Harmon Leon. And we'll be back next week with a brand spanking new episode. I'll be interviewing the director of the documentary I Am Chris Farley as we do a deep dive into the history of Chris Farley. And until next time, bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Excuse me! Comedy History 101.